All right. Data come from a sports psychology study, the motivational effects of labeling during a week-long basketball camp for aspiring college players. There was an optional tactical training session that everybody took once, was optional for the other 9 offerings. So that's going to be one of our variables. Notice it's not manipulated. It's a measured subject variable. We've got no control over confounding. Before the first session, the clinic coaches had identified who were the starters and who were the bench players. And by identified, I mean they put them in 2 groups, standing in front of God and everybody. So now kids know whether they've been identified as starters or bench players. For the first drill of each session, they were divided into starters and bench players, trying to make sure that everybody remembers who's what. That's what makes it a labeling study. The research question was, how would this label influence tactical learning? So we're going to take the original motivation variable, where the starters were coded 1 and the benchers were coded 2, and I'm going to turn that into a dummy code where the bench is the comparison group. And so motivation, starters are 1, bench is 0. If you were a bench, I'm sorry, if you were a starter, you're still a starter. If you were a bench, you're still a bench. We're going to center the number of sessions based on the mean. And then we're going to calculate an interaction term, which is the centered number of sessions times the dummy-coded motivation. And I'm going to stick that into a regression model. This one?
Yes.
That's the interaction term.
Wow.
Set number of sessions centered, the original motivation, their interaction term by their product. We good? Cool. So we got a model that accounts for about 50% of the variance, which is believable given even given the small sample size. We have the number of sessions for the bench group is negative, but not significantly negative. The group difference is significant at the average number of sessions, and we've got a marginally significant interaction. And it looks like this. Now remember that the dependent variable is number of tactical errors, so smaller numbers are better. It looks like everybody gets better, and it looks like the starters get better faster than the bench. Depending upon how this is operationalized, we interpret this very differently. If these really were bench and starters, then we would say that they start out equivalent at low levels of sessions, but as you increase the number of sessions that a person attends, the starters get more better than the bench. What most people would then do is comfortably transition this to, if we give a person more practices, they'll get better over time. But keep in mind, that's an interpretation, because this is a between groups comparison. Different people who chose how much they were going to practice showed differential practice effects depending upon bench and starter. What you should know about this is that the bench and the starters were randomly formed. So basically, this is half benchers and half starters, and this is half starters and half benchers. So this difference is now interpreted as a labeling effect. A labeling effect that gets stronger the more times somebody is labeled. So you have to pay careful attention to how things are operationalized, and you have to pay careful attention to whether you have a longitudinal or a cross-sectional design. Sometimes you can get away with longitudinal versus cross-sectional designs, and frankly, practice effects are often like that. The differences you see across groups, you would see within a group over time, are awfully similar. This is asking, this is the code we need to ask, let's compare the starters and the bench groups at two sessions. That means the difference between those who attended one optional session. Okay? This is like minimum design to look for an interaction. And so, what we do is we use the same dummy coding for motivation. We're going to leave the benchers as the comparison group and the starters as the target group. But now we're going to recenter with number of sessions at 2. Instead of at the mean, we're going to center at 2. And when we change that centering, we got to go get ourselves a new interaction term. That's the most common screw up. You need that interaction term. You can't use the old interaction term. The interaction term has to be the product of the dummy code you intend and the centering you intend. The model's the same. The fit of the model's the same. What's different is that number right there. The slope of the group coded zero hasn't changed. The slope difference between the groups hasn't changed. The only thing that's changed is where we're looking at the group difference. And so after 2 practices, there's no difference. If we want to look after 9 sessions, we hang in there with the same dummy code for the motivational manipulation. We now center sessions at 9, recompute the interaction term. Same model, same fit. But now we get a 3-point difference, which is statistically significant. And you can have it anywhere you want it. Now, some people would recommend that back up here, that we go ahead and center at 5 instead of at the actual mean. Most of the time, that's fine advice. The people who don't like that advice don't like it because we're about to stick a quadratic term in this model. And as you know, anything other than the mean centering gives you some inflated collinearity between the linear and the quadratic terms and the linear and the quadratic interaction terms. Most of the time, it isn't enough of a difference to screw anything up. But that's the reason that you've got some people who recommend centering at values you give a shit about, whole numbers, versus others say center at the mean. One's worried about collinearity, the other's worried about interpretability. If you want it, especially if you have a research assistant, you have them do it both ways, and you look to see if the interaction term changes. If the interaction term changes much, it's because of a collinearity shift. But it hardly ever does. Okay? If we decided that we were more interested in what that practice effect looks like for starters, we have to go rebuild our dummy code so that now the starters are the comparison group and the benchers are the target group. So now we're going to learn all about the starters. Same mean centering, different interaction term, because we're using this dummy code and mean centering to get the interaction term. Same interaction, same group difference, but with opposite sign, but a new regression slope for the number of sessions, because now we're talking about the other group. Same stuff using GLM. And you'll notice that the homework provides you the opportunity to do both. there are enough flavor differences in the output and the input that the only way to know both is to do both. I don't know where you're going to end up, so I want you to be fluid with both. Notice, if you will, the format. Dependent variables by categorical variables with quantitative variables. SPSS doesn't care if those categorical variables are IVs, covariates, predictors, whatever. Everything that's categorical follows by. Everything that's quantitative follows with. Which means, if you want to, you can leave out the bys and stuff anything you want to following the with. And I've seen people do that. They do their own dummy coding and put everything into the with. The one thing you miss if you do that is you now don't get the main effects for the categorical variables. Your F tests in the ANOVA table and your T tests in the regression table will all match because they're both done on simple effects codes. Type 3 sum of squares, because it gets the regression weights with all of the terms orthogonal to each other or controlling for each other. Your design is the one variable, the other variable, and then we tell it to build an interaction. Until this moment, this is a main effects model. Until we tell it, use that main effect, use this main effect, and build me an interaction. And you literally type in the name of the one variable, the star, the name of the other variable. This is the code you type in. There is not a variable called this. There's still not a variable called this. But there is a term called this within the design. Does that distinction make sense? Cool. Then I want to get the group comparisons again at 2 and 9. My problem is 2 ain't 2 anymore, and 9 isn't 9 anymore, so I have to figure out what they're going to be after we've mean-centered them. And so we just take the mean away from each of the values, and that's what I plugged in when I tell it to go find me the tables for the motivational with the number of sessions held constant at -3 da 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 da, and compare the groups. You need all three pieces of this. This gets you the tables. This gets you the tables for the value of X that you want, and this is what gives you the significance test. If you leave this out, you don't get the significance test. And so we've asked for that group comparison at 2 and at 9 by respecking that. Now, it gives you those descriptive statistics, but they don't mean much because those are the raw group differences without controlling at any particular value of practice. Remember that this is a test of the overall group difference. This is the test of the overall slope. This is the test of the interaction. The only one of these that's going to be exactly the same is this one. Because for lower order terms, there's a difference between main effects and simple effects when you have a higher order term. All the numbers are the same and mean the same thing. It's just a little harder to see it because it reminds you that this is a two-group variable and that the lower coded value was turned into the target. This is supposed to remind you that this is the line for the lower coded group, which is the starters. And the one thing you'll notice is that because we put the benchers in as 2, that's going to be our comparison group. Here's our interaction term. It's the same set of numbers. So it's the same plot. here's our estimated marginal means. And this is the other nice thing that you get out of using GLM, is you get those estimated corrected means. This difference is the same as the regression weight for that comparison at that value. So we knew what this is, and we knew whether or not it was significant from the regression. What we didn't know is what those two corrected means were. That's the cool thing about the GLM, is you get the corrected means. You can always figure out what they are, because you've got a regression model. Just plug in the values you want. Don't screw up the math. And there's those the values. Or you can just ask for them. You also get a lot of redundant information built into this, because it tells you not only the difference between starters and bench, but bench and starters. And then it gives you the F-test that corresponds to the T-test, and it corresponds perfectly because there's only two groups. So there's no difference for those who come to two practices. There is a difference for those who come to nine practices. People who come to nine practices and were identified as bench players are expected to make about 4.6 tactical errors. It's nice to have those means because it allows you to talk more specifically. Not just they'll do poorer, but you can decide how much you care about the difference between 1.5 and 4.5 errors. I knew that. That's right. The expected marginal means things. The E means things. Yeah, exactly. Gives us both of those. These guys right here. And he'll tell you which one it is, because right here it tells you where it controlled. So if you have a whole bunch of these, that's how you can tell which one's which. They always line up in the same order. 1, 2, whatever. But that's how you specifically know that you've grabbed the right one. So one of the things that I often do is when I make these pages where I save stuff, I copy all of this out as one JPEG. Instead of copying it out as separate things where they might get separated later, I bring this out as one JPEG. So that the right set of means and the right set of pairwise and the right set of F are always kept together forever after. Okay? It's not quite as pretty that way, but you never get things mixed about. If we wanted to get the model for starters, we don't change the dummy code, we change the original unit code. So that now starters are coded 2 and they're going to become the comparison group, benchers are coded 1 and they're going to be the target group. The only thing that changes is the direction of the group difference and which line we're getting the regression slope for. Once again, all of these match what they did for the corresponding regression. Here's our picture. And then this is something that I provide you with the opportunity to do in the homework, which is sort of stop and gather everything up. We're accounting for about 45% of the variance, which is statistically significant. There's a marginally significant interaction. Describing the interaction as the slope difference. Describing the interaction as group differences. The number of sessions effect. The motivational effect. As well as a careful mentioning of whether the patterns are descriptive or misleading. Overall, we found a number of sessions effect from the GLM. On the other hand, we have to stop and see if we got a significant negative slope for each group before we describe that main effect as descriptive. We get a significant main effect for what group you're in, But we can tell by looking that that's going to fall apart at small values of x. So we got to make sure that we point out that while there's a main effect, there are only simple effects within a certain region, and we probably want to go back and do some more carving to figure out where's that line between significant and not significant. So taking a second and gathering all that up, usually you discover you have less information than you want to be able to talk about. So you go back, you do some more coding, you do some more recentering, and you get all the information you want so that you can then tell the story that you want.